pumped up, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's my privilege and honor. I'm so excited to be joined today in honor of the MLB playoffs and the inclusion of Negro League statistics finally in Major League Baseball statistics by the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues. He is 89 years young, folks. His name is Dennis Bose Biddle, and he almost did not play in the Negro Leagues. Mr. Biddle, when we were talking last, you left off with, you were about ready to head off to play football on a full ride scholarship at Grambling State. And you got a phone call from the Chicago American Giants, one of the Negro League teams, and they wanted you to come up and try out, sir. What happened next?
Well, I really didn't understand trial. If I was on the team, but I went. I wanted to play baseball, and I went to Chicago, and I guess I tried out for the team. I thought I was on the team. I tried out and I made the team. So I joined the Giants in 1953 as a Negro League ball player.
And you were how old, sir, when you started playing Major League Baseball for the Negro Leagues?
I was 17 years old. I was I had just graduated from high school, and 2 weeks later, I was playing my first professional baseball game in Memphis, Tennessee. I was with the Chicago American Giants.
That is incredible. And you played two seasons with the Chicago American Giants, and then Major League Baseball called. Not the Negro Leagues, but the MLB, did they not, sir?
Well, see, you know, man, in my book, I tell about how that transpired, because Major Leagues, they didn't scout us. And I was on the Major League, the Negro League team, after Jackie Robinson became a training ground for the Major Leagues. And people don't know this, but Brett Rickey's long-range goal was to use the Negro League as a minor league system. They don't write about it much because a lot of our history was not written down. A lot of the stats you talked about was not written down also, because the Negro League team could not hire a statistician to travel with the team. The players themselves kept a lot of their own records. In my book, Secrets of the Negro Baseball League, there's a way thing was happening back then, because if a Major League team were interested in a player that was on a Negro League team, they had to purchase his contract from the team he was on. The team he was on would get enough money from the Major League to pay those older guys that was training us to keep the league going. This is what's hidden. This is something that's not written down about what happened in the Negro League, and this was after Jackie Robinson. And I sum it up by saying very little was written down about the Negro League from 1949 to 1963.
Mm. That is how Major League Baseball used the Negro League, sir, as you were saying, as sort of a minor league, a farm league, if you will, for MLB. And yet it sounds like, you know, this was a relationship that was very asymmetrical in economic power and who got to call the shots. And sir, you got to the first day of spring training for the Chicago Cubs, and the unthinkable happened.
Right. I broke my ankle in two places. But what I really want to say, that ended my really major league career, but I felt I could still run as fast as I ever did, but my ankle never healed. It was broken in two places. But what people don't know, man, is that players like Hank Aaron, Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, all was just like I was. They had that long binding contract from the Negro League team they was on, and the Major League team that was interested had to purchase their contract. It's in my book, Secrets of the Negro Baseball League, because they didn't write about that. They didn't know what was happening back then. The Negro team was getting the players ready for the Major League because that was a money-making industry for the team at that time. It didn't last for about four or five years, but it ended up that way, yes.
Folks, you can find that book by Mr. Biddle at DennisBiddle.com. He also runs and he is the president of yesterday's Negro Baseball Players Foundation. And do you still have that store in Mayfair Mall? I remember seeing the store that I believe you've run for years with your wife, Patrice, in Mayfair, where you've got some of your memorabilia, your book, and you share some of your recollections of your time in both the Negro League and Major League Baseball.
Yeah, thank you. We do still have the store. Right now, it's not open. It will be open the 1st of November. It's called Legacy Sportswear. It's at Mayfair Mall. We moved to a different location, and that's why the store is not open at this time. It will be open November the 1st.
Yeah, check it out in Mayfair Mall. Again, folks, I'm talking with Dennis Biddle, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues, in honor of MLB playoffs, game two of the wild card, Brewers and New York Mets meeting this evening. I'm going with my pops. Mr. Biddle, my dad was a pitcher as well. Never made it to any of the leagues. But I did want to ask you, sir, because I heard that you are the man who beat the man who beat the man. And yeah, we're going to have to take a couple messages, but can you stick around for a little bit more? Because I want everybody to know you are the man who beat the man who beat the man when it comes to pitchers. And I want you to tell that story. Do you have a few more minutes for us, sir?
Yes, I do. I'll be glad.
Wonderful. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, talking with Mr. Dennis Biddle, the president of yesterday's Negro Baseball Players Foundation, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues at a very young 89 years old. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More to come, including a discussion with Sarah Spain, the Strategic Communications Director of Emily's List. We're going to talk about that debate when we come back.